Joining us right now on the line is one of the best in the world at what he does. World-renowned golf course architect Robert Trent Jones Jr. is joining us this morning as he has just completed a redesign of the President Country Club. And Robert, good morning to you. Thanks for spending a couple minutes with us.
Glad to be with you, Russ, and good morning to you.
Well, let me ask you first, the redesign there at the President Country Club, which you just completed, is right around the corner from us here in the heart of West Palm Beach. Give us an idea for what exactly you did and how much did you change the character of the course?
Well, as you know, the course was well designed in the 70s and 36 holes, and we took one of the courses, the Eagle course, and we kind of blew it up. Actually, one of the hurricanes blew over it, and then we had removed a lot of its trees, so it gave us an opportunity to reshape and recraft the entire golf course.
Robert, when you're faced with a course or courses or like you are here in Florida, which are relatively flat, how much do you manipulate, for lack of a better term, the terrain to fit a certain ideal that you're looking for in the finished product versus just working with what you have? And unfortunately, in Florida, you know, that's a lot of just sand, water, and flat, you know, flat. But how much do you manipulate the terrain to try and get some quote unquote character out of a golf course down here?
Well, that's a very good question, and we architects, me in particular, since I spent a lot of time in Fort Lauderdale, where you're talking to me right now, grew up in this area. And Florida, we call it Florida flat architecture or flatland architecture. And Pete Dye is excellent at that because he lives in this area. And I tend to be more in the hilly areas of the West, and I grew up in New Jersey, but I live in California. So I like third dimension for golf. The most important thing is to get good targets to aim at off the tee. And then you have the additions of water, which are flat, so you have a hard time picking out a target off many of the Florida courses. In the case of the President Club, we added texture as well. The first time that we used coquina sand, which is a sandy wasteland from Titusville, was up at Windsor Course, the course we designed in the early 90s, and we used it for a cart path, but it was so successful, we made it into waste bunkers. So in this case, we used the same principle and gave it texture of a different kind of bunker. You have the white bunker sand, which are playable bunkers, and you have the coquina sand, which are big, huge wastelands, so you have definition. And in addition, we raised the terrain of the fairways and greens and tees, so we had some undulation and roll throughout the whole course.
World-renowned golf course architect Robert Trent Jones Jr. joining us here on the show, Golf Exchange, presented by the Honda Classic on ESPN Radio 760. Russ Evans and Pat Rooney Jr. with you. Robert has designed or redesigned over 200 golf courses worldwide, including Silverado Country Club in California, Poppy Hills and Spanish Bay at Pebble Beach, and a lot of courses here in Florida. You mentioned the Windsor Polo Club in Vero, Weston Hills Country Club down in Fort Lauderdale used to host the Honda Classic, and he has just completed a redesign of the President Country Club's Eagle course right here in West Palm Beach. And Robert, I'm curious, when you redesign courses, do you take more poetic licensing in the redesign when you've originally been the designer versus when you're redesigning a course that somebody else designed originally?
Well, that's a great question. I actually like to write poetry, so poetic license is clearly something we use. So the answer to your question, it depends on the owner. Normally, when we do, we don't do a lot of remodeling per se. But if it's our own course and it needs an update after a refreshment after 30 years, we kind of stick with the basic principles that work. Obviously, the technology in the game has gotten much better. There's a lot longer tee shots now, and that sort of thing. And so we have to look for back tees or other ways to make the course interesting. Contour and greens is something I personally like to use in a variety of ways, but with the speed of the greens today, particularly in Florida, the very fast greens, maybe the contouring has to be even a little softer than it was. So when we do a new course, or a course that has not been done by us, we tend to do those only if the owner wants to completely revamp it, or as we call it, reconstruct, or not just refresh the course. And then that's the President's Club. It's all new.
Robert, along those same lines, if you are redesigning somebody else's golf course, which of these factors will you take more into consideration in the redesign? Is it playability for like at the President's Club, if you're going to have a lot of people of various handicaps playing it? Is it the intent of the original designer and you know, trying to get sort of close to what he or she originally intended with the course? Or is it the effects of technology, today's technology, on that redesign and obviously adding length or adding, you know, maybe making the greens more elevated, something like that. Which of those factors do you take more into consideration if you're redesigning somebody else's golf course?
Well, as I said earlier, we do not do a lot of redesign. And particularly, I'm a great believer if it's a great golf course of another era, such as Seminole in your area, leave it alone. You know, would you go and repaint over the Sistine Chapel? You know, why mess with greatness if it's already there, even if the Greens Committee seems to want to do something? In fact, so I'm always an advisor to stay away. However, if the course is ordinary in character or hasn't been taken care of or trees have grown in and changed it over the decades, then I would go in and start fresh. And it's like a fresco. You paint over the last person who painted it. And, you know, that's kind of my philosophy. And we don't do a lot of remodel. We do mostly new courses. We've done a new one in Sarasota, Florida, called the Founders Club. And we're working throughout the country and beyond right now. So watch for a new course that you'll hear about, Chambers Bay in Washington State. It's getting a lot of attention. It's a pure links course. We take to take a theme and carry it through. In Florida, as you mentioned earlier, it's water, sand, more sand, a few trees if they've grown up and haven't been blown down, and that's what we work with. And we try to create shadow lines, or we have so much sun here as well, that if you have mounds and undulation, that helps you with the shadows in order to, for you as a player to pick out your target on your tee shots and your approach shots. Once you're on the green, I like to put contour in the greens, and I like to emphasize chipping and putting, particularly for, as you mentioned, a wide variety of members. You have a lot of older members in Florida, and I like to say the young limberbacks can be outfoxed by the guys who can out-chip and putt them. So the older members like to play around their game around the green where they can get even with the younger players. But we try to accommodate all different age groups, each men and women, and each quality of ability on the course, if we can, through multiple tees.
Golf course architect Robert Trenton Jones, Jr. joining us here on the line. Golf Exchange, presented by the Honda Classic with Russ Evans and Pat Rooney, Jr. And, Robert, we were just talking in the last segment about drivable par fours. We've seen a lot of it this week at the FBR with number 17 at TPC Scottsdale. We saw it last year at another 17 at Oakmont in the U.S. Open. We know Riviera's number 10 is one of the classics when it comes to drivable par fours. How much do you use that type of design in your courses?
Well, it's a new theme because the guys are hitting the balls over 300 yards. So we do it once. It's kind of like an exclamation point in a sentence. You don't want to have them all over the whole story that you're telling. But occasionally, if the terrain presents it, or it's in the rhythm of the routing study of the plan of the whole course, and it's appropriate, we'll do it. We've done a new one, a drivable par four at Chambers Bay on the 13th hole there. And so we made a huge green with a lot of contour in it, so you have really clearly four distinct pin positions and big change in elevation between them. So in the case of Chambers Bay, there was a little pro shot tournament there last fall, and all four players hit the green with their tee shot, but they only came off with par and regret. They three-putted. So there's ways to make a par four drivable and interesting as well.
Robert, I got to ask you, what's been your toughest either redesign or original design, and what's been your most favorite design?
Well, you know, my favorite one's the next one. toughest in terms of just getting it done was Moscow Country Club in the Soviet Union, now Russia. We started in 1974, and we opened in 1994, but it now holds a European tour event. And that was extremely difficult for all. It tested every element of my professional ability, my political judgment, my courage, and my teammates to hang in there that long. But we got it done. It was the last country in the world that didn't have golf because of their political point of view. They're talking about building hundreds of golf courses through that huge country.
He is Robert Trent Jones, Jr. Of course, he is the second Robert Trent Jones, Sr., one of the phenomenal designers of his time. Spyglass, Congressional, Hazeltine, Oakland Hills, just some of the phenomenal works. And Robert Trent Jones, Jr., pretty much marking out an existence for himself in the world of golf course design. Robert, thank you so much for your time this morning. Of course, we can't wait to get over to the President Country Club and try that brand new Eagle course, just completing the redesign at the President Country Club in West Palm Beach. Have a great day. Hope to talk to you again soon here on Golf Exchange.
And when you do, let me know how you played. The birdies are yours, the bogeys are mine.
Good stuff. Thank you, Robert. Have a great day.
Take care.
There he is, Robert Trent Jones, Jr., a world-renowned golf course architect, just completing the redesign of the President Country Club, joining us here on Golf Exchange. Pat, I always love when we get golf course architects on. We've had Pete Dye on the show a number of times. We had Jack Nicklaus on a couple years ago, talked to him about design. I just love, you know, we had Jim Fazio on a couple years ago from Frenchman's Creek when he had finished the redesign at Frenchman's Creek. I really love this part of the game, the design of golf courses, and just talking about different golf holes, I mean, because the possibilities are endless.
Well, you as a recovering architect, Russ, I know are especially interested in it. But I just as sort of a guy that likes when I see a piece of land and I sort of visualize, hey, that'd be a nice spot for a par three or a nice spot for a par four. And I wonder, you know, if my thinking's completely off, you know, off the end of the earth, or if other people, especially noted architects, sort of view things the same way. Do they see a piece of land and can instantly visualize how they would lay out a golf course there? He talked about Russia. I was lucky enough to be there. God, it's been 20 years ago now, and just touring the countryside there, and just beautiful country, like hilly terrain and streams and everything. And driving, you know, when we're driving around out there, I was just like, man, there'd be, and as he mentioned, there were nothing, no golf courses at all. I was like, man, this hillside, the countryside, just would be great for a lot of golf course out there. And now I guess they're finally doing it, but. You know, you talk about Florida and the challenges you have here because there isn't much terrain. There isn't much topography to work with. If you get into the West Coast or north part of Florida, you do have a little bit. But it is fascinating. You're right. A guy like Robert Trent Jones, we could literally spend 3 hours with
him
here.
No doubt about it.
Talking about, you know, just how he thinks. And that's what's fascinating to me is when you get guys like this that have been able to do things in their life that you wish you could do, And then figure out how they think about things, and you know, you dream a little bit and say, well, maybe I could have done that. But man, what a wealth of information you could get, not just from him, but you know, his dad, his brother, all the stuff that he's been involved with in his life.
That's quite a family. Robert Trent Jones Sr., a world-renowned golf course architect in his time, and then Robert Trent Jones Jr. and his brother, Reese Jones. The Jones family has definitely meant a lot to the world of golf and golf course design. So much thanks to Robert for joining us this morning on Golf Exchange.